concludes the series on the new norm. And we've talked about in the first two parts. Part one, we talked about having excellent preparation. Last week, we talked about having quality relationships. Well, the third part, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to use this as our thematic thrust on today, the springboard in which we'll hop into our message. Last week, I talked about that there are two ministries that we need to be proficient in. The first one is the ministry of presence. It means the ministry of being present with people, being present in our time with God. But then we also said there was a ministry of absence, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, the ministry of absence. And it's the act of creative withdrawal, meaning I can't be all things to all people because I first need to be what God requires of me. And from there, He will show me in the important areas of my life where to be fully present for. See, the key with the ministry of absence is that if we don't learn to be absent, we will have a hard time being present when it really matters. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, and it says this, it says, but Jesus often withdrew. Someone say often and type in often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, his example of accomplishing so much in such a limited time. Father, I thank you for the model that he gave to us, that in his three earthly years of ministry, he was able to fulfill all of the old covenant so that we could walk in the fulfillment and the blessing and the promise in which you've given from the foundation of the world. But though his time was limited, his work was exponentially magnified because he listened to you in the times of prayer, in the times of withdrawal. So help us in this moment to talk about what it means to rest, what it means to take time to replenish. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we're talking about the new norm, the final part of this new norm series, the third and final piece is I want your new norm to be that you have quality rest. Come on, by faith. I want you in the comments to type in, and I want you to let yourself know by saying out loud, I expect quality rest. Come on, say, I expect quality rest. Isn't it the most frustrating thing in the world to have an off day, to have some downtime, for it to only leave and you to feel like nothing ever happened? I know I might be talking to a parent, or I might be talking to a teacher, or I might be talking to a professional out there where you are on the go all the time. And it's like you finally have a break, but you feel like you didn't get a chance to break at all. Maybe it might have been a day off. And sometimes when we run and push the limits so hard, we could even take a week off and realize like I needed more time. Who out there says, listen, I need some more time? There are moments where we can get so exhausted from all of the responsibilities that we have and all of the demands, all of the pressures, that we're running on autopilot and thinking to ourselves that it's normal to live this way. But this is the new norm series, and I am declaring over your life, I'm declaring over your work, I'm declaring over your career that you are going to live well rested. Come on, that's a faith statement. Say, I will live well rested. Go ahead and type that in. I will live well rested. But I want to throw a caveat out here because y'all, I'm just realizing something. I'm telling you. My man, listen, I'm realizing that quality rest is not the absence of activity and responsibility. Quality rest is not about doing nothing, because quite honestly, for the greater majority of us, that's not the option. You're going to have to get up and go to work. You're going to have to get up and feed the kids. You're going to have to get up and make sure that there's a roof over your head, and making sure all of your responsibilities are done. So I don't want us to fall into the ditch of, I want you to vacate all of your responsibilities for the sake and the calling of Christ. It's not what I'm saying. So quality rest is not the absence of activity and responsibility, but quality rest is the keen discernment on what activities and responsibilities to take on at the right time. So it's important for us to have discernment from God as to what should my calendar look like? What should my workload look like? How should I process all of the requests that I have, all of the engagements that come up, all of the demands on my time, all of the requests for meetings? Lord forbid, another Zoom call, another meetup. I mean, all the things that show up. My greatest prayer and the new norm now is, Father, give me keen discernment on what activities I'm to have and what responsibilities I am to maintain. Because whenever we are taking on more than what the Lord instructed us to do, we are taking our own life and our own time into our own hands. And one thing that happens more times than not is that we fail to calculate the adversity that we'll face as a result of taking on more responsibilities and having more activities. We think that if I just take on this, it will only require X number of hours. But what we fail to realize is that there are some variables that are outside of all of our control. And the moment that we take on anything extra, we are then subjecting ourselves to the variables that come with it. And often we begin to be overstretched and we're just trying to stay above water as opposed to treading the water and navigating the way in which the Lord would have us to do. But here's a lesson that I want you to take from the life of Christ. And if you just did a quick study on his life, you would see that even after every major ministry output, so anytime he had huge output, he made sure that he was intentional about what he was placing back in. So whenever your life is giving out a host of output, I want you at the same time to figure out, where can I put life back into me? It is not sustainable to just continue to go without reckless abandon. You might feel good today, but in the long term, whether it's your body or whether it's the relationships we talked about last week, they will let you know that living life, not managing the tension of activities and responsibilities in a healthy way, will have an adverse effect on the quality of the life you live long term. And so Jesus knew that I need to withdraw. And we don't have time today, but I encourage you to read Luke chapter 5 and you'll see Jesus operating in the miraculous throughout this entire chapter. But after a miraculous, right before verse 16 that we read today, he had performed a miracle. Immediately following him withdrawing to pray, he came back to perform another miracle. So if you find yourself on the go, I need you then to look at, where can I intentionally put in time to replenish? But drop down to verse 36. And as I close this series, I want to speak this over your life. There are things that your excess activity has been blocking and not allowing God to operate in the way in which he desires to operate in your life. And during my time off, I just kept hearing this phrase, open spaces, fresh anointing. Open spaces, fresh anointing. And I kept hearing that and I said, Lord, what are you trying to say about open spaces and fresh anointing? He says, if you would just clear out space, I can pour out an anointing that you're trying to control in your own strength. I said, what does that mean? He says, you are trying to manufacture, and he was talking to me, so if it's you, go ahead, let's get this corporate whooping together. He said, you are trying to manufacture what I've already promised. He said, the problem is you haven't created enough space for me then to step in and to operate and show you that I have a higher way than the way in which you're controlling. There's going to be a Leadership with Vince video that comes out in the coming days, and there's this statement that the Lord said. He said, with experience comes confidence, and when you have confidence, you cease from trying to control the outcome. When you develop an experience with God in those times of prayer and you genuinely take to Him what your concern is, I can think here recently, I felt, you know, God, there's certain things that I want to do. There's certain things that I want to set up. There's certain things. And I'm looking at naturally the means. It looks like a long way uphill. And I remember just in my heart, the Lord said, hey, how about you bring all of those concerns to some quality prayer time that we'd have together? And I said, well, I mean, not doing nothing else outside of changing a couple diapers. So absolutely. And I said, well, so how long? And then, okay, I'm gonna talk about me. I said, so how long do you want me to have this quality prayer time? And he said, 4 times your normal average. Y'all, I ain't got 4 times my normal average, at least I thought, because I began thinking about my to-do list. How in the world am I gonna spend this quality withdrawal time in prayer? Number one, I don't know what time I'm gonna have to wake up anyway. And so how am I gonna do all these things you're asking me to do? And I could just remember my spirit saying, Vince, hush, and just do what he asked you to do. And so I said, all right. And so I took every one of my concerns in that prayer time. And when I took those concerns in the prayer time, he began answering every single problem that I was trying to maneuver in my mind and control in my mind. He said, and you do this with this, you do this with that, you do this with this, and you'll have enough for that. And I said, huh, that's neat. And so we spent time. So in the quality time, he didn't talk about me in my profession. So I'm just going to bear my soul to you all. This whole devotion and quiet time, I'm growing in it. And I found that the more that I've worked with it, especially since I've become a pastor. So the last 4, I've been really working at God, help me to have quality quiet time with you. And so what I'm noticing is that he's not talking to me as the professional. So he's not talking about my profession. He's not sharing with me how to be a better pastor. He's not showing me how to be a better relationship person. He's not showing me how to be a better instructor. He isn't talking about any of that. He talks about the things that are key to me. He says, first, Vince, I want you to feed your spirit. So, and I invite you there every single week inside of the sermon notes, we have a link to a Bible plan that we do. So I opened up our Bible plan and I looked at it, and that was just to feed my spirit. Well, then after feeding my spirit, the next responsibility and the major responsibility is, okay, Vince, I want you to work on the most important relationship you have outside of me. So I got the relationship with God. The next relationship was the one I had with my wife. So he has me reading things concerning marriage and how to get better and how to be more sensitive in my heart toward her and how to hear the needs. And I mean, just dealing with me on that. Then the next thing he did, the next important relationship that I have is with my son. So he has me reading things on fatherhood. So I'm pouring into myself in this withdrawal time, pouring into my marriage, pouring into my relationship with my son. And that was it. But what I noticed from that time, the reason I'm sharing the story is what I told myself would take 8 hours took 20 minutes to complete. So after the 4 times extended personal quiet time, what I said needed 8 hours took 20 minutes because I opened the space. God deposited a fresh anointing to do what I was worried about doing. And so who out there has not given God the space to be God in your life, to be God in your business? And it seems far-fetched that this activity of withdrawing to pray is going to increase not only your effectiveness, but your quality of rest. In Luke 5, 36 and 39, it says, then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. Verse 38, new wine, new anointing must be stored in new wineskins, a new way of thinking. Open space, fresh anointing, new wine, new anointing, new wineskins, new way of thinking. But no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine because they say the old is just fine. What is he saying? Naturally, your mind does not expand. It limits itself to previous experiences. And when you limit yourself to previous experiences, especially the phrase, if it's not broke, don't fix it, then you will not expose yourself to a new way to accomplish the very thing you are asking and attempting to do in your own strength. We can become slaves to our previous levels of success, attempting to accomplish new feats with an old paradigm. You will become limited by your own capacity in your mind. You got to think about it. At one point, businesses such as Blockbuster, Redbox, and Sears were considered cutting edge. But if you desire to remain on the cutting edge of innovation in your calling, you must be willing to take a moment to pause, to rest, and reflect. Someone type in, pause, rest, reflect. Pause, rest, reflect. Pause, rest, reflect. That opens up space for a new anointing to be poured into you. Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. In Psalm, we see often this note called Selah. And it's a musical notation that's written after stanzas and beautiful verses. But Selah is placed there because it's saying that you need to pause in the performance. You need a Selah moment in your life where you pause from your performance. And I'm talking about a genuine, genuine Sabbath, a genuine withdrawal. And again, I've taught you all in times past, and for those who are new, you can hear it again. You may need to take moments, whether if you have no Sabbath, if you have no time off, take 6 hours. If you can't do, if you can do six and you've done six, do 12. If you've done 12 and that works, do 24. And inside of your Sabbath, it's not just saying do nothing. In fact, there are 5 habits and hobbies that we all need. The first one is a creative hobby. The second one is a socialization hobby. A third one is an exercising hobby. A fourth one is a learning hobby, and a fifth one is a monetizing hobby. That's all a part of Sabbath. What can you do that you're creative or that you're socializing? And this is the importance, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, to not forsake the assemblings. I believe it's 10:24, 25, somewhere in chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So it's not specifically and only talking about the physical church gathering, but you need to find other people that you can gather with and spend time socializing. The biggest enemy in the pandemic is that people have been pushed into an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. We have to fight against that with socialization. We need an exercising hobby, something that keeps us moving, something that keeps us active. Listen, you can gain all the money in the world, but if your health is failing, you will not enjoy it. You need to find a way to exercise. And I'm excited, at the end of this summer, we are going to spend time on faith, on fitness, on finance, and on family. We are going to spend time showing you practically ways in which you can enhance the quality of your life. Number 4, you need a learning hobby. You need something that challenges your mind. Leaders are constant learners. So what are you doing to learn a new skill? What are you doing to rehash a new skill that you haven't had before? And number 5, you need a monetizing hobby. What's a way that you can generate income in order for you to have a stream where you can enjoy your life? Yes, God wants you to enjoy life. Outside of funding initiatives that help to create legacy, there's a moment in time where God wants you to have a stream for your enjoyment. But how do I experience the power that comes from pausing, from resting, and reflecting? You need to have these 4 characteristics. It needs to have 1 of silence and solitude. Sometimes you've got to sit in silence, cut off the television, cut off the screens, get your journals out, Number two, you need to be a person who's committed to Sabbath keeping. Number three, begin the habit of simplifying your life. Taking out things that are unnecessary due to you holding on to them because of the fear of, watch this, missing out, or the fear that I'm going to let somebody down. Simplify your life. And number four, I want you all to practice slowing down. In certain seasons, you need to know how to bring things to a divine pause so that you can reflect, making sure that vacations are built in to your calendar, even if they're staycations. I want you all to slow down and not always be on the go. Amen. And so I want to pray with you all today, because quality rest is something that we have to not only work toward, but continue to work toward. And so with that being said, I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer. And if you're out there and you're like, Pastor, I need to learn how to rest well. If that's you, I want you to pray with me and let me know and just say, hey, look, I prayed with you. And I'll know as soon as you text, and I'll send back just a response to say, hey, how can I keep you lifted? What are some things we can hold each other accountable on? Because the same way I'm preaching to you all, I need to preach this to myself as well. This is something that we have to work at. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you modeled for us what it means to rest, that you desire us to live on a higher level. You desire for us to live beyond just the status quo, but you desire excellent lives, exceptional lives. And so, Lord, in this series, we're committing to preparing. We're committing to improving the quality of our relationships. And we're committing to having quality rest. For my brothers and my sisters who are praying along with me today, their heart is to rest, but they sometimes just don't know how, and are concerned that things will fall. Lord, let them know that you're the one upholding their world the same way you're upholding this world, by the power of your mighty hand. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you pray with me, go ahead. There's this information coming up on screen that just says, I prayed with you, and just text me at the number 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. I'd love to follow up with you on today and just find out ways that we can rest. But I guarantee you that if you commit to being excellent in your preparation, commit to having quality relationships, and committing to quality rest, you're going to see your life go to a completely new level. Amen. Well, I want to receive today's offering, and I want to thank you all for being faithful and continual supporters financially of this ministry. Listen, I don't want to make any qualms about it. We are unable to do all that you see us doing without your support. And I want to thank you for that, because it's coming from your heart. And we can genuinely see that lives are being changed. People are coming to grow in their walk with God. We're able to be a beacon in the community that we're in, and also around this country and even the world. But it's all due to your faithfulness and your giving. And I want to thank you for that. There are multiple ways to give here at The Outlet. You can give online at theoutletcommunity.com/give. You can give by Zelle. And entering into in your financial institution, give@theoutletcommunity.com, give@theoutletcommunity.com, or you can text the letters TOC to the number 73256, and there'll be a link that comes back to you, and you can complete that link. If you're watching online today, there's a barcode that's come up on the screen. Hold your phone up. And if you have a QR reader app or on iPhone, I know you can hold the camera up and you'll be able to scan that, and it'll take you right there to be able to give. And I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart that you are vested into what we're doing here at The Outlet Community. Before we go, I do want to give a special shout out to a special, special friend of mine. No, it's my beautiful wife, Ashley. It is her birthday today, and so I can't wait to get home to hug her and to wish her a happy birthday. But Ash, you are God's greatest gift outside of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for another year to celebrate you. You are an amazing wife. You're an amazing person. You're an amazing mother. And I love you. And I thank you for leading not only this church with me, but this life that we have together. I love you and happy birthday. All right, y'all. I'm setting myself up real nice. Amen. I'm going to see y'all next week. We'll be back in person as well as online for our new series on You Asked For It. Make sure you vote for the topics. We will let you know the top messages that have been selected. And on next Sunday, we have graduation Sunday. So we have wonderful scholarship recipients. We're acknowledging the class of 2022 and our outlet leadership graduates as well, institute graduates as well. God bless you. We love you. See you next time.